Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 38.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 38 of What You Say in English, a podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. Today, I have another interview, and just like last week's episode, it's a video interview. So if you're tuning in from another platform, I mean, other than Spotify, you will only enjoy the audio version. Our guest today is Kate Bodrova, a passionate educator with over 13 years of experience in the field. Kate fell in love with teaching early on and even started her own language school while still at a university. She believes in the power of community and the transformative impact that teaching can have on people's lives. Kate is also the co-founder of Amazee, an innovative edtech startup. Amazee is a platform that empowers teachers to become more independent, visible, and financially successful. It allows educators to share and monetize their teaching content, creating a source of passive income. The platform is also powered by AI, something that we've been talking about recently quite a lot, which can help teachers create lesson plans in a fraction of the usual time. I think that what sets Amazee apart is its focus on community building and open environment. On Amazee, you can find any kind of content, contact the author, and even collaborate. It's a place where your work speaks for itself and you don't have to pitch it. That's the best part, to be honest. It's a platform that truly values the work of educators and aims to foster a synergy where people create and share content. Kate's journey from a language-loving student to an edtech entrepreneur is truly inspiring, and it aligns perfectly with the ethos of our podcast. Here at What You Say in English, I'm all about exploring the nuances of language learning and teaching. And Amazee is at the forefront of this field, revolutionizing content creation with new technologies. In today's episode, we'll delve deeper into Kate's experiences and insights, exploring how Amazee is shaping the future of language education. So without further ado, let's welcome Kate Bodrova. So, Kate, thank you so much for taking your time to have a chat with me, because after the episode last week, we came into contact and through LinkedIn, and I thought that it was a great opportunity. Actually, I thought about other ideas for the episode, but to be honest, I didn't want to miss this chance to interview you and talk about your platform. So, as a first thing, and to let our listeners, people viewing this content, I would like to know, because you seem to have an impressive background with over 13 years in education and private teaching to, you know, creating this amazing website. Can you share with us your journey and what inspired you to transition into edtech, you know, with Amazee?
Of course. Thank you very much, Frank, for having me today. This is my great honor, like, to be with you, and I truly appreciate this opportunity to speak. Well, to begin with, long time ago, when I was choosing a university to go to study, I was like, okay, my only skill is I love languages, and I loved English language, and I was truly inspired of how amazing this language actually makes your world, because it opens a lot of doors for you, a lot of different interesting information, different people and places. So that was my only skill. And I decided to proceed with my university to go to Faculty of Foreign Languages. But my first idea was, okay, I will have this education, but I will never, ever going to be a teacher. Because, like, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be, I don't know, an engineer, whatever. But I don't want to be a teacher. But when I first tried teaching, I just fell in love with that. And that was a passionate addiction. I don't know how to describe it. I think you get it. And everybody who listens to this podcast now, they also understand that once you start teaching, you cannot stop because you realize how much impact you create and how supporting this activity is, how many emotions your students share with you. And it's really exciting. So I fell in love with teaching. And at some point, I had too many students who wanted to have classes with me. And this is how I decided to start my language school. I was second year student at that period of time. And this decision was crazy enough for that time because I had to finish my university. There were a lot of things to do, but I loved teaching. And I just, after my lectures at university, I went to my office. I taught offline before Zoom and before online, before pandemic, before everything. Yeah. So this is how I started. And then I discovered that around me, there were so many great people, also teachers, who shared my values, and we had the same views. So we decided to organize a team, and we decided to do it together. This is how it all was growing and growing. And at some point, we had 200 teachers in our team, with the community of 500 teachers from all over the places, because they came to my city from abroad to have this experience of teaching abroad. You know, it's very popular when you are an English teacher, when you teach English as a foreign language, it's a great opportunity for you to travel. So I met people from Australia, from New Zealand, from different places. We enjoyed this experience together. We developed different courses. So I always was like, my main focus was to attract personalities who were talented enough to develop their own courses, some tailor-made materials and some specific content, you know, because I am a true fan of personalized education. And I think that this is probably the most like empowering tool when you create a course for specific needs for a group of people or for an individual student, and the student appreciated a lot, the motivation is higher and everybody is super interested in this course. So yeah, we developed a lot of different materials together, different approaches, different courses, intensive courses, general courses, soft skill courses, different stuff. It was fun. Yeah. And then I realized, like, one morning I woke up and I realized that it's kind of like I reached some, I wouldn't say some like, you know, some level, but I was at some point where I would need to develop somewhere beyond. And I wanted to create a project that would be really a game changer for teachers, for those who, for example, do not have access to, I don't know, like this variety of content that we have developed in our school, and who do not have access to community a lot. Yeah, because teachers, they need community. And I truly believe that it's very important for teachers specifically, because our main job is to transfer a skill, and it's emotionally and psychologically, it's a very hard job, right?
Yes, definitely.
We need support of our fellow teachers, of community. We need to exchange materials, exchange emotions, share our issues, whatever. So I wanted to create something like really meaningful for teachers, a place where they could first create amazing content, because I believe that this is what is inside of you. Content is another like focus. Like, there are two main, not issues, not challenges, but I would say like two main points in education: content and community. And it's very important for both teachers and learners. A place where teachers would create amazing content quickly, easily, in a beautiful way, where they would enjoy content creation. Because also another side of that, I know how hard it is to create content. It's crazy. You spend like 5 hours to develop a short course, to develop a couple of lesson plans. And it's like, it's crazy. Literally.
It's funny you mentioned that because in my case, I've always said that teaching is not really a solitary profession. And it's to me, it resonates a lot because when you mention that there's a sense of community in your platform, and that's the way I see teaching. Teaching is never a solitary profession. More often than not, you would definitely share your lesson plans or your ideas for lesson plans with other teachers. You would get comments. Many times in the different places where I've worked, there is this spirit of sharing ideas and also inviting your colleagues, your other teachers, to come into your classroom and observe what you do and then give you their feedback. It's not really like a formal observation, but they would give you their own way of, you know, from an outsider's perspective. Sometimes when we organize a class, we plan a class, sometimes we're so embedded into what we're doing that sometimes we lose sight of other aspects that another person might be able to point out. And I think what you mentioned, what you offer in your platform, I think it's a great way of doing it online, building that community. Because once I started, because I joined Amazy, the website, this week, I uploaded my first lesson plan. Immediately, I got incredible feedback from all of you. You invited me, Amazy invited me to the WhatsApp group for teachers, and the response has been amazing. The feedback has been amazing. So to me, as a teacher, as a content creator, I feel in a way validated. So I think it's commendable that you mentioned all of those things because I can see them from my perspective.
Yeah, that's true. Totally true. And thank you for mentioning it again, because it's very important. Community is the core of teaching. And these techniques, when your colleagues come to your lessons and they observe, they give some feedback, it's a classical way of peer-to-peer learning in our case, in case of teachers, right? Because this approach is used like in many international teaching qualification courses like mm-hmm. CELTA, DELTA, and other courses. So it's very popular. And we used to do it at our school as well. And we still do it in online lessons when teachers can join some actively teaching groups and give some recommendations to their colleagues afterwards.
And apart from that sense of sharing ideas and creating and sharing content, you also offer the possibility to monetize this material, this content for online lessons. Can you tell me more about the inception of Amazy and the platform and what it aims to solve in the educational sector? I mean, I know that it offers the possibility to monetize your content, but it also offers other possibilities as well. So can you talk a little more about that?
My pleasure to share this with you. Thank you. So basically what we do at Amazy, we help teachers to become more independent, to become visible, and to become rich. This is our mission.
Well, that's something I would definitely want from my life.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the ability to monetize our skills, I mean, teacher's skills, right, is not so wide as we would need it to be and as we would want it to be. Because basically what you can do is you can monetize your active teaching hours, right? But it's not scalable because it's like maximum, 6 hours? And then mm-hmm. afterwards, yes. You just feel exhausted because it's a lot of energy. Again, you're sharing the energy because you are transferring yes. skills from your head to another head. Yeah, so that's why I think content in terms of monetization is an amazing opportunity for any teacher to scale income and to gain passive income, which is more important even because we are always focused on active income and generating active income. We have to work a lot. We have to teach. But with Amazy, you just publish your content. You share what you already do, like in any case, because you prepare for your lessons, right? You create mm-hmm. some lesson plans. So you share it and you can monetize it. You set the price yourself. Nobody advises you how to do that and why you need to set this or that price. You can also create subscriptions for your profile and it will allow your subscribers to have access to all the premium content you have published in the Amazy community.
That's amazing.
And our focus, Amazy focus of monetization, I mean, the platform itself, we do not have monetization focus on creators' income. It's only 15% we charge because we need to cover Stripe fees and other fees of acquiring. But this is not our focus. We want to foster this energy, this synergy when people create content, when they share it. But our business model is to have monetization from paid features, basically artificial intelligence that you have already mentioned, technologies, right? So Amazy is powered by AI, and AI can help you create lesson plans in 10, 15, 20 minutes instead of like 2 hours or 1 hour. It can save your time, right? So this is how we want to monetize Amazy, not through the content, because I have heard of some marketplaces that charge 60% of income that creators generate. So, and I think this is not very fair. Well, but it's my personal opinion. It doesn't mean these marketplaces are bad or whatever. Just I think that when it comes to community building, when it comes to content, this is our vital goal, right? This is our vital, our focus, to create an environment where people share, to create an open environment, because you can contact anyone on Amazy. You can find any kind of content and you can contact the author. You can have some collaboration.
Yes.
You can.
Yes, I noticed that you, if there's a plan, for example, that you like and you want to use yourself, you have the link to contact the author directly. And I think that's a great, sets Amazy as a feature. It sets it apart. And I know that you've been in the business for quite a short time. I mean, in relation, of course, with other platforms, but have you seen any visible impact that Amazy has had, even though it's been for, you know, a short time? Can you share some success stories or significant milestones that Amazy has achieved since the beginning?
Yes, of course. So my main like thing that I feel the most proud of, our content creators, of course, and people who join the platform, because I believe that community is the power and we inspire each other. And it's actually incredible how people can change the life of other people without even like, you know, actively changing it. Because like there are some people who are really isolated in terms of community, unfortunately, although we live in 21st century in the era of technologies and the globalization, there are some places on the planet where people do not have access to, like, you know, this incredible community of teachers, conferences or educational centers for teachers, right? Teacher training resources. But looking at content that is published on Amazy, they can create something incredible and share it. And then they can have some feedback that you have already mentioned today, right? So it's always pleasant. But for some people, it's really life-changing. When they hear some feedback from people from Europe, from the US, from the UK, from different cities, different universities, there are some content creators who are official original authors of content that was published by Cambridge University Press. And it's my great pride also, because like really, I really appreciate that. Yes, talents, big names in the industry. And they text you, they email you on the platform. Imagine you are somewhere in nowhere, like in Siberia, or I don't know. You have, maybe you even like, you don't know a lot of people from abroad because you don't have this opportunity to travel, right? And they just text you, they email you, and they say, what you do is great. People continue. And it's life-changing. This is number one. Number two is Amazy helps you become visible, because it's very often when people publish some content on YouTube or Instagram or anywhere, it involves your face, your charisma, your smile, your appearance. It's not bad. It's great. But there are no opportunities for those who feel shy. For example, they do not find it's a good place for them because they just don't want to appear in public and to present some personal stuff, including appearance. And it's not their thing. And it's okay. It doesn't mean they are bad professionals. It's just not about them. Like, you know, to be a blogger, to show your face everywhere, to make these stories and content of your personal life. So what they say is, when you publish your work on Amazy, your work speaks for yourself. You don't have to pitch it. You don't have to speak about that. You don't have to prove anyone anything, because You have already published the content that shows you your talent and your skills. Yes. It demonstrates how exactly you can work with the structure of the lesson. What are your graph of interest? What is your focus? What is your expertise? And this is incredible.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a wonderful platform to showcase your talent as a teacher. And I think when you mentioned, for example, the active income and the passive income, I think it's a great way of really giving the kind of rest or time to chill out and relax to teachers, because we are accustomed to teaching classes and we're accustomed to offering or working for an active income in which we have to be fully involved. I mean, we teach a class online, for example, just in my case, I teach a class online and I have to actively engage in that lesson. And of course, that's a, you know, good earned money. But when it comes to materials, I mean, in my case, for example, I've produced so much material for my classes that thinking about the idea of getting some compensation, monetary compensation, without me doing anything else, I think it's a great, it's a game changer. I know that other platforms offer it as well, but quite honestly, it's not half as elegant or attractive, visually attractive, as I have seen in Amazee. I think it's a great, great tool. Now, I want to ask you about the challenges, the future of education, because you've mentioned that Amazee is built on or uses artificial intelligence. And also, I've checked out your profile, your LinkedIn profile, and in one of your articles, you discussed the two important skills for teachers in 2023. Can you elaborate on these skills and how you see the future of education evolving, especially with the integration of artificial intelligence technology into education?
Well, from my perspective, what I think is when people say AI will be your teacher in the future and they will not be human teachers, I don't believe in that. And I think a lot of people agree with me because human needs human, right? And it's a rule that works perfectly, especially when it comes to teaching and learning, because a lot is beyond of just the, like, you know, giving the information from one person to another. It's about support. It's about emotional contact. It's about psychological match. It's about inspiration. It's about somebody who says, I believe in you. You can do it. Go. So that's what I think about technologies. Yes. But at the same time, teachers, like everybody else, all the professionals, we need to understand technologies. We need to implement technologies in our work, not only because our modern world is filled with technologies, but also because we want to be more efficient, more productive, and we want to save time and we want to earn more money, especially passive money again. that's because it saves you a lot when you know how to use technologies. They make our life easier and they make our life happier. But if we don't understand how to use them, it's extremely stressful. It's extremely, like, you know, overwhelming. So we basically don't have any choice. We have to learn how to work with that. It's our colleague, as we call it on Amazee, AI co-pilot. It's your co-pilot. Any technology is your co-pilot. Even like video conferences, right? Because now it doesn't seem like something unusual already after the pandemic. But I remember during the coronavirus, everybody was like, oh my God, how to work with Zoom? What do you mean when you say breakout rooms? How to use everything? Like, yeah. But we need to get used to that. We need to understand it and invite it to our professional journey. It's much more fun.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. I think that also when you look at that helping hand, in my case, for example, I've become recently quite used to using ChatGPT, for example, as is one of the multiple artificial intelligence tools that we have nowadays. I read an article recently posted by another fellow teacher. And in the article, they said, for example, that artificial intelligence has become a sort of assistant, as you say, as a co-pilot. And it seems in my case, for example, nowadays, I find myself going over to you know, ChatGPT to start focusing on the things that I want to do. Sometimes I have a great idea and it would take me, for example, let's say a week to mature an idea and then go step by step. But then when you use artificial intelligence, you seem to save a lot of time and you can still get the same result or even a better result. So I see artificial intelligence more as an investment in my case to advance professionally. So I think I see it as a great opportunity to really enrich the kind of content that I create, not only for myself, for my personal development as a teacher, even now as a content creator, podcaster, but also as a teacher, you know, crafting, as you mentioned before, tailor-made lessons that can have a lasting impact on students. And, and I think it's a great opportunity.
But in right hands. So in terms of skills, you need to understand how to use this technology. So not only you need to understand the process of usage, right? But also you need to know that it's not going to solve all your problems. I mean, like it's a really, it's teaching assistant and nothing more, at least at this point. So basically you need to turn on your critical thinking and to understand what is a good kind of content generated by AI, what is a bad content generated by AI, what is suitable, what is not, because it actually generates a lot. And
exactly.
You need to understand how to balance.
Exactly. And that's where your expertise as a teacher comes through, you know, because sometimes you create this material, but it has to go through your own criterion as a teacher. I mean, what your experience tells you, what your classroom experience tells you. And in my case, I mean, of course, I'm very happy with the results that I'm getting from, you know, ChatGPT, just to give you an example. But in the end, I mean, I feel at least at this stage where we are with artificial intelligence, at least at this stage, I feel that I still need to tweak it a little bit, you know, so it can be completely adapted to everything that I do. But yes, it's a great, and I also wanted to know, I mean, because I know that in your case, using this, all these great tools all to create the Amazee as a website, have you faced any challenges, you know, like while building the platform? How did you, I want to know how you overcame those challenges, if any, and what advice would you give to anyone aspiring to become an entrepreneur in edtech?
Thank you very much. It's a very nice question also, and I'm happy to share this experience. So actually, of course, a lot of challenges because building projects, building especially tech startups is very expensive. It's very stressful and it takes time.
Well, that's not very reassuring.
But it's rewarding.
Very good. Yes.
First 5 years.
Wow.
So we actually started talking about creating something like Amazee with my co-founder back in 2018, the end of 2018. Wow. So we were talking a year and a half because we needed to see what kind of opportunities. You kind of need to be a future teller in this case because it's a lot about predictions. It's a lot about analytics of what the market is going to be and what is going to be like, not trending, but what is going, where the focus is going to be, right? Because like content community, it's not obvious from the first sight because you need to know, you need to go deep into the market. You need to read a lot to do a lot of research. So yeah. Then we had some pilots. We had some ideas, some different ideas, not just Amazee. It was not the first idea. First, we wanted to create a platform where we would match teachers and students according to psychological type. But then we realized it would be just another marketplace and we don't want to be involved in the process of relationship between teachers and students when it comes to actively, like, you know, active work. And then we wanted to create a B2B service. So anyway, a lot of different attempts.
Wow.
And it all costs money, of course. Development is expensive. You spend a lot. For now, I was trying to count how much money we have spent together with my co-founder when we were trying to test different ideas. It was something around like $150,000 USD. Wow. Like a wow. lot.
Really. Wow. Did you get the help from any investors?
Recently, yes, in March, a little help. But now we're going to raise again, and I hope we will close the round in November. Let's see how it goes. Fingers okay. crossed. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but first, you invest your own money, your own energy, and your own knowledge, your expertise. You motivate people to work for you because you share your big vision and your huge mission to change the world together, etc. So, yeah, that's challenging. And plus, some personal circumstances can just come into your life. Like I had a baby when we were in the process of development. Now the baby is 1 year old, and then like it's crazy, but it's beautiful.
That's part of the journey.
Yes, yes, it's just incredible how it can be. Hmm. What I would advise to people who want to become entrepreneur, well, first of all, don't be afraid. It's always scary. Like, you know, but you are scared because you don't know what's going to happen. And you never know if you don't try. I know it sounds cliche, but just go and do it.
You'll never know.
You never know. Yeah. Mm. And,
unless you try, of course.
Of course, because all the thoughts, they are just, it's all in your head. Go and try. Talk to people. Second, talk to people. There is an amazing book, which is called The Mom Test. Maybe you've heard mm-hmm. about that.
No, I haven't heard about it. But I will definitely look it up.
It's a very short book. It's 100 pages, 100 something pages. And it gives you a lot of recommendations on how to talk to your users and to people you're going to sell your product before development and during the product development, when you decide to develop new features. Mm-hmm. Interviews are very important. It's very important to stay close to your users, to be inside of this community, to understand deeply, not problems, but pains, emotional pains.
Okay.
It's beyond just like, you know, some problems, they don't matter. Okay. You just, okay, it's fine. It's okay. It's bad, but it's fine. I can work with that, right? Yeah. So talk to people, find some capital to develop everything and then try to sell. Try to sell before you launch. Try to make some pre-sales. Try to sell as much as you can. Reinvent yourself and become an extrovert. Even if you are shy, yes. don't feel like confident yes. enough, go and do it. Face your fears and you will be fine. Believe me, everybody, we will be
Definitely.
Fine.
Definitely. And one of my last questions to you was, I know that there, the audience, for example, when it comes to teachers, you might say, or anybody might say, that it's a little bit limited to people who are tech savvy, you know, people who are knowledgeable with computers or knowledgeable with, you know, like kind of this kind of content creation. What if, for example, a teacher who's not very knowledgeable about these things, have you thought about running either training or professional development courses for specifically content creation for those people who might need a little extra technological help into, you know, create their own material and literally making money out of it?
Of course. When we educate our community, this is one more way of interaction with our community. And when you tell people about your product, this is one more way, like to tell about your product, just to teach them something. And we love teaching because we are teachers. Yeah. So we actually have these events, this kind of events every month. It's online and it's free and anyone can join. The next one we are going to have next week, 25th of July.
Yes, I already signed up.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. Yeah. So, I agree with you that for teachers, it's not, often very obvious how to use this or that technology. And because of this reason, we actually, when it comes to AI again, right? On Amazee, we do have AI features, but it's inside of the platform. So you don't need to write this long prompts, requests to chat, like we do with ChatGPT,
yes.
because many people even don't understand how to use it. And how to write these prompts correctly. So our tech team already made it for you. And you just need to choose the level, the audience, adults, kids, or teens, and some specifications, like what exactly you want our platform generate for you. a text and news article and opinions or example sentences for this or that structure, yes. Right? That's it. Because I think in this case, when it comes to technologies for teachers, you mm-hmm. need to be as simple as possible.
Yes.
And fortunately, in yes. our case, we know this language. We speak teacher's language, right? Because we are teachers mm-hmm. and we understand how to work with this audience. And we are a part of this audience.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Do you have any final words to our audience, the people who are watching and listening right now?
Yeah, I think that it's very important to emphasize again the importance of content and content creation. Content actually goes a bit beyond, like, you know, course materials. It's, if you remember any book, right? There is a section, contents. This is what is inside of book. This is what is inside of you. You are the content. So the more content you generate, the more skills and talents you demonstrate. So never underestimate content creation when it comes to education, especially. This is my final phrase for today.
No, I think you couldn't have said it better. I think it, because that's a little bit of your legacy. I mean, what is left of you, like what you have left, not only for your students, but also other people. I know that it sounds a little fatalistic to say, but we're not going to be living forever. So I think that's a little bit of what you leave behind you as a legacy. I think it's a great way of looking at it, you know, when you leave something worthwhile.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. So, Kate, thank you very much for joining me this time.
Thank you very much for having me today. I'm so happy to participate. I hope you also enjoyed it and our listeners will love it.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end of episode 38 of What You Say in English. A big thank you to Kate Bodrova. Thank you for joining us today and sharing your amazing and inspiring experience and journey and the incredible work you're doing with Amazee. There are a few takeaways from our conversation today. First, the power of community in education and how it can transform lives. Second, the importance of leveraging technology in education and how platforms like Amazee are revolutionizing the way we create and share educational content. And finally, the potential for passive income for educators, a concept that Amazee is actively promoting. For those of you who are intrigued by Amazee and want to learn more, I have some exciting news. I'll be creating a short video tutorial on my TikTok channel explaining how Amazee works. So if you're not following me there yet, now is the perfect time to start. You can find me on my TikTok channel, which will be available in the episode description. And here's the cherry on top. Kate has generously offered to give away 5 full-year business licenses for Amazee to 5 of my most committed followers. This is an incredible opportunity to experience firsthand the transformative power of this platform. Stay tuned for more details on how you can be one of the lucky winners. Thank you all for tuning in to What You Say in English. Next week will be the last episode of the season, and I have a super wonderful guest invited for another interview. I couldn't ask for a better way to finish season 3. So, until next time, until next week, keep practicing and stay curious. Bye-bye.